平安。今天的经文取自马太福音21章31到32节。你们想，这两个儿子是哪一个遵行父命呢？他们说，大儿子。耶稣说，我实在告诉你们，税吏和娼妓倒比你们先进神的国。因为约翰遵着义路到你们这里来，你们却不信他，税吏和娼妓倒信他，你们看见了，后来还是不懊悔去信他。愿神赐福遵行他话语的人。
今天彭弟兄的这个讲道的题目是耶稣是我们的房角石，这时候请彭牧师和柯里长老。
彭弟兄，
Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ.
主内弟兄姐妹们，早上好。
Truly, it's a privilege to worship with you again.
今天能够跟大家一起来敬拜神，真是一个福气。
Today the exhortation is taken from two parables in Mark.
今天的讲道经文呢，是从马可福音的两个比喻里面取出来的。
And I've entitled today's exhortation as Jesus is our cornerstone.
并且我也给了这个题目，耶稣是我们的房角石。
And I'll explain this as we study the parable later.
我们就来看比喻的时候呢，我多加解释。
Okay.Today, we are going to engage two very simple and familiar parables.
今天我们要来看的是两个很简单而且直白的比喻。
And these parables, we have either studied them ourselves.
这些比喻呢，也许我们曾经自己也学习过。
Or we have heard exhortations or sermons on these two parables.
或者也听过关于这两个比喻的一些讲道。
But I just wanted to bring out one or two aspects and bring them to your attention.
但是呢，我在这里想要把一两个方面的重点呢特别带出来。
Okay, in these two parables, what is interesting?
在这两个比喻里面很有趣的地方。
They employ what we call a literary device.
他们用了两种文学手法。
And the purpose of a literary device is to arrest the attention of the hearers.
作者之所以使用文学手法，就是要得到读者们的注意。
And basically, these two literary devices, what the first one is called the rule of three.
这两种文学手法当中呢，第一个呢叫做三次重复法则。
And then the second one is.The parable is told in terms of two categories of people only.
然后另外一个比喻呢，它的讲法是用两种人来做一个对比。
Let me explain a little bit more on the rule of three.
让我解释一下什么叫三次重复法则。
You will find that the rule of three is very common even in English literature.
你会发现在英文的文学里头呢，三次重复法则是常常看到的。
And the rule of three works this way.
三次重复是这样子运作的。
The first two set up the example or the pattern.
前面有两个例子呢，是让大家看出那个当中的一些模式，一些图案。
And then the third example is the key point.
然后来到第三个例子的时候，就是那个重点。
What the third example is.A point the writer wants to bring across.
作者就是在第三个例子里面呢带出来那个重点来。
Sometimes it is a contrast.
有时候呢，它是一个对比的方式。
Sometimes it reinforces.
有时候是重复的加强。
And we see this rule of three quite common in the parables.
我们在比喻里头呢，常常看到这个三次重复法则。
The second literary device is to paint the world into two categories only.
第二个文学手法呢，就是把这个世界分成两个种类。
And the reason why the parable is written or simplified into two categories,
比喻之所以把这个世界简化成两类
It's because Jesus wants to highlight.
是因为耶稣要强调。
He wants to highlight that in essence, the world is divided into two categories only.
他要强调说，在本质上，这个世界可以分成两类。
You see, we live in modern day society.
今天我们活在一个很现代的社会。
We divide the world into many categories.
我们把社会呢分成很多类别。
Maybe one category is what kind of work you do lah.
比如说一种类别就是你的工作是什么。
The other category is, your children in which school lah.
另外一个类别是，你的孩子在哪一间学校。
The third category, another category, do you know how much I'm worth or not?
第三个类别是，你知道我价值多少吗？
But when Jesus tells this parable,
但是当耶稣在传讲这个比喻时，
He strips everything apart.
他把这些细节都把它拆开。
All the superficial elements are taken away.
这些表面的元素呢，都把它除掉。
He wants to draw the hearer's attention to the pure essence.Of categories of people.
他要把听者的注意力放在这个人类本质的类别上，最重要的类别上。
And the last part is, as we encounter the parable of the wicked tenants.
最后，当我们去看这个凶恶园户的比喻时，
there is one interesting feature here, and the interesting feature here is the cornerstone.
这里有一个新的学习点，它就是房角石。
And this cornerstone is an important picture or metaphor.
这个房角石呢，是一个很重要的画面，很重要的一个比喻。
And the reason it's important is because it occurs many times in the Old Testament.
它很重要，是因为在旧约里头，这样子的比喻重复了很多次。
So you will find that the Jews were familiar with this idea of a cornerstone.
所以你会发现犹太人很熟悉房角石的这样的一个比喻。
And then Jesus employs this familiar idea.
耶稣就使用了这么熟悉的一个比喻。
To drive home a point for the hearers to understand.
来向听众带出一个重点。
Okay, let us engage the text. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter.21, and I'll read verses 28 to 32.
所以请跟我翻到马太福音21章。
Verse
28节。
Jesus says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard.
28节，耶稣又说，一个人有两个儿子，他来对大儿子说，我儿。你今天到葡萄园里去做工。
Verse 29, I will not, he answered, the first son answered, I will not. But later, he changed his mind and went.
29节，他回答说，我不去，以后自己懊悔就去了。
Verse 30, then the father said to the second son or the other son, and he said the same thing, and the second son answered, I will, sir.But he did not go.
30节又来对小儿子也是这样说，他回答说，父啊，我去，他却不去。
Verse 31, now Jesus asks, which of the two did what his father wanted?
所以来到31节，耶稣就问会众了，你们想，这两个儿子是哪一个遵行父命呢？
So they answered, the first one.
他们就说大儿子啊。
Then Jesus said to them,
过耶稣就说，
I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you.
我实在告诉你们，税吏和娼妓倒比你们先进神的国。
Why? Verse 32, because John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did.And if even after you saw this, you did not believe John the Baptist, or you did not believe him.
为什么呢？因为约翰遵着义路在你们这里来，你们却不信他。税吏和娼妓倒信他，你们看见了，后来还是不懊悔去信他。
So this first parable is the one that Jesus uses and categorizes humankind.
所以在这个比喻里面呢，耶稣使用这个比喻把人类 分成两个类别。
Category one is those who respond to the gospel. Category two, people who don't respond to the gospel.
第一个类别是回应福音的人，第二个类别是没有回应福音的人。
Okay, a couple of important points down here.
在这里有几好一些的重要的重点。
You look at verse 31 somewhere in the middle.
所以你看看第三十一节，在这段话的中间。
It says that I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you.
这边就说，我实在告诉你们，税吏和娼妓倒比你们先进神的国。
Okay, who is the ahead of you? The you is ahead of the Pharisees or the religious leaders.
所以这里比谁先进神的国呢？这里是指这个你们是指法利赛人，还有那些老师们。
When the people first heard this, it blew their mind.
当听众一听到这句话的时候，他们难以置信。
And it blew their mind because it was impossible.
他们难以置信，是因为耶稣讲的话是不可能发生的。
It was impossible for tax collectors and prostitutes to be righteous.And to enter the kingdom of God.
税吏和娼妓是不可能成为一个义人而进得了神的国。
Let me explain why tax collectors were considered not fit to enter the kingdom of God.
为什么税吏当时候的人认为不配进神的国呢？让我解释。
Okay, in those days, the tax collectors worked this way.
所以在当时候，税吏的工作方式是这样的
：The Romans appointed local Jews to be tax collectors.
罗马政府呢，就选了当地的一些犹太人做成为税吏。
So what happened was there was a usually a tax or a toll to be imposed by the Roman governor or the Roman system.
所以在罗马的制度之下，他都会向百姓讨税。
So these Jews, these local Jews, they will have to bid like a COE. They have to bid to be part or to operate this toll system.
所以这个罗马政府的税呢，他们有一个数额，然后当地的犹太人就要投标，说我可以不可以满足这个数额。
So what happened was they had to outbid each other.
所以他们投标的时候看谁投的比较高。
So the winner.So the guy who won this was doing this as a business proposition.
所以得到这个标的人的犹太人呢，这个税收的这个制度就成为一个生意了。
So now the Roman say, maybe this place I only tax $10 roughly.
所以比方说，罗马政府讲这个地方呢，我要收的税收是10块钱。
But the tax collector, because he had bidded it and he had bidded high, he had to collect $12.
所以，但是这个税吏呢，因为他投标投这个地方，并且投的比较高，所以他要收的税收是12块。
So when the people came, he had to collect tax.
所以当百姓来的时候，他需要跟他们征收税。
So he had to collect $12.
他要跟他们收12块钱。
But the citizens say, "Hey, but Roman Empire say only $10. Why you collect $12?"
但是百姓就问说，哎，罗马政府只是讲十块钱，为什么你要收十二块
？$2 is for administrative cost.
那两块钱的额外的税收是来处理就是行政上的费用。
So the people were saying, "Hey, Roman only $10. You collect $12. This $2 you makan lah."
所以百姓就讲，罗马政府只要10块钱，你却收12块钱，那2块钱你自己吃掉了。
And this is open, you know, you are openly robbing us.
你就在明白光天化日下来抢我们的钱。
You think you can? This kind of people, you think can go heaven? You rob us in daylight.
你大白天来抢百姓的钱，你以为你可以进天国吗
？So when the hearers first heard this, tax collector also can go into heaven. They were blown away.
所以当百姓们听到耶稣讲，哎，税吏也可以进天国吗？他们真的是难以置信。
Prostitutes, of course, we know they were immoral people.
娼妓，当然我们知道他们是行为不当的人。
So in their minds, they're saying, "Huh, an immoral person can also enter the kingdom of God?"
当百姓听到这个的时候，他们也会问：一个行为不当的人也可以进天国吗？
So an immoral person and an unethical person, these two categories of people can also enter the kingdom of God.
一个不讲道德的人，一个不讲公 道理的人，都可以上天堂吗？
How is this possible?
这是怎么可能的？
And how is this better than the Pharisees who had followed religiously the laws of God?
这些人怎么可能比法利赛人更好呢？法利赛人他们是严谨遵行律法的人。
And the explanation is given in verse 32.
这个解释呢，就在三十二节里面。
For John the Baptist came to you all and to show you the way of righteousness.
三十二节就说，因为约翰遵着义路到你们这里来。
Yes, John the Baptist has explained to them.How to enter the kingdom of God?
是的，施洗约翰已经向他们解释怎么进入天国。
And you would have thought that, the Pharisees would say, yeah, logical, makes sense, this is consistent with what I know, yeah. They would be the first to acknowledge this and enter the kingdom of God. You would have thought that.
你可能会认为说，法利赛人他听了约翰的讲道，他们会同意。并且说，约翰所讲的跟我所相信的是很吻合的，所以他们第一个会回应约翰的这个传讲道理。
But instead, it is the tax collectors, the unethical people, and the prostitutes, the immoral people who have believed the way of righteousness.
但是回应的却是税吏还有娼妓这些没有抢钱抢剥削百姓还有不道德的人，他们做了第一个的回应。
And even when the religious leaders heard this, they did not believe.
甚至当宗教领袖听了约翰的讲道，他们也不信。
So today, this congregation is divided into two categories.
所以今天这里的参加聚会的人也分成两类人。
Those who believe in the way of righteousness as it is preached here.
那些相信在这里传讲的道理的人。
And those who hear this and walk away and say, it doesn't really make sense, ma.
另外一群是听了讲道走开，认为说不没有道理。
Let me bring the way of righteousness and explain the way of righteousness here.
让我在这里向大家来解释这个公义道路的道理。
The way of righteousness, God, The way to enter the kingdom of God is not by merit, it's not by what you do.
你要进入天国，并不是靠着你所做的善行善举。
It is not about your righteousness.
不是你的公义。
Why?
为什么？
Because we are all sinners here before God.
因为在这里，我们在神面前都是罪人。
The way to enter the kingdom of God is not through our own merit, our own righteousness.
所以进入天国并不是靠着我们的功德，不是靠着我们的义。
There is a huge gap between our righteousness and God's expectation of righteousness.
我们的公义跟神的要求之间呢，有一个很大的差距。
And there is no way to bridge this gap.
这个差距是无法得到解决的。
We are all sinners.
我们都是罪人。
We are all condemned to death.
我们每个都被判死刑了。
But we need not necessarily be punished with death.
但是我们却不用实际上被判死刑。
Fortunately, there is a savior, only one.
还好的是我们有一位救主，就只有一位。
And this Savior is Jesus.
这位救主就是耶稣。
And what do we need to do to enter this kingdom of heaven?
我们又该做些什么才能够进天国呢？
We need to trust that our sins are transferred to Him, and His righteousness is transferred to us.
我们必须信靠说，我们的罪已经转移到耶稣身上，耶稣的公义又转移到我们的身上。
So if you are like the tax collectors, the unethical, and the prostitutes, the immoral. If you are like them and you have placed your trust in Jesus,
所以如果你是像税吏或娼妓、不道德的这些人，并且把信心放在耶稣的身上
，and you have trusted that Jesus can take away your sin,
你已经信靠说耶稣把你的罪都除掉
，you are on the way to.Entering the kingdom of God.
你就已经踏上进入天堂的道路。
However,
但是
if you hear this message,
如果你听到这堂道
and you think about this message,
然后你这么思想
And you say, doesn't square with what I know.
你说，跟我的认知不吻合。
Then you are just like the Pharisees.
那你就像法利赛人。
That you have heard the good news.
就是你听了好消息。
And have rejected the good news.
你却是拒绝了这个好消息。
And this is like the two sons.
这也好像这两个儿子。
The congregation here is like the two sons.
这里的会众就像这两个儿子。
You see, the first son was told, go and do this.
第一个儿子被吩咐说，你去做这些事情。
And then he said, I don't want, but later changed his mind.
他起初拒绝，但是后来改变心意。
He is, the first son is a picture of the tax collector and the prostitutes.
第一个儿子呢，就代表了税吏和娼妓。
People who initially rejected the word of God or who were unworthy of the kingdom.
这第一群人呢，是原本拒绝福音的人，或者是不配进入天国的人。
But they had reconsidered when they heard the way of righteousness.
但是当他们听到了这公义的道理，天堂公义的道理的时候，他们改变了心意。
The other one is the second son.
而第二群人就是第二个儿子。
He said, "Yeah, I will go," but he didn't.
他说会，我会去做。可是他实际上没有去做。
That means there was intellectual assent. Intellectual assent means intellectual agreement, but no obedience or no trust, no faith.
表示说他们在头脑上他们可以认同，可是实际上他们没有行出来，没有真的信心。
So the punchline in this message is in verse 31.
所以这段话的那个重点就在31节。
Which of the two sons did what his father wanted?
这两个儿子是哪一个遵行父命呢？
You see the word they here, they is the people who were listening. The first they answered. Verse 31b.
所以这里的他们，他们呢，指的就是当时候的听众。
So they said, the first are.
他们就说，当然是大儿子咯。
This is what we call court of public opinion.
这个我们这里他们的说法呢，就叫做我们说公众的判断。
We Chinese also have a similar system here.
华人也有同样的一个制度。
Sometimes in the past, when I grew up that time.
以前，当我在长大的时候。
You know, sometimes when two people quarrel.
当有两个人在吵架。
Then we all stand around them, woo 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 like that, and we watch.
然后我们就围在旁边，然后观赏这个吵架。
And then in our minds we also form an opinion. This guy like that, but you know like this. We all form an opinion.
然后围在旁边的人呢，心里面都有一些想法。
But you see in verse 31.
但是你看在31节。
The court of public opinion said the first one obviously the first one won.
公众的判断一致是说，当然是大儿子。
Of course, what? This is a no-brainer.
这是大家一致同意，这个是当然的，不需要考虑的。
I mean, in an argument, normally it's not black and white lah. Normally not 100% right, not 100% wrong lah. It'll be about 55-45, and then we will debate this.
通常在一个争论里面的时候，没有一个很直接的黑与白，通常需要一些辩论来考虑说哪一个会比较好。
But here you get the impression there was unanimous.
但是在这个事情上呢，大家都有一致的看法。
Who obeyed the father? The first one, not everybody said, yeah, first one, nobody said. And the text does not record for us. The text does not record for us. And there were murmurings the second one. The text doesn't say that.
所以大家的回应一致是大儿子有听父亲的话，他们。这段话也没有记载说其他人有私下说，也许是小儿子是那听话的人，并没有这么说。
So it was obvious, it was unanimous.
所以这个是很明显，大家都有一致的看法。
So what is obvious today is, brothers and sisters, there are two categories of people here.
所以很明显的，弟兄姐妹们，今天在这里也有两群人。
And the way of the way to righteousness is by trusting.That Jesus can take away your sins.
进入公义的那个道路呢，就是信靠耶稣能够把你的罪除掉。
And it is by trusting it, whether you're immoral, whether you are unethical, if you are prepared to turn away from that life and put your new life in Christ, you are on the way to the kingdom of heaven.
不管你现在是不是一个没有道德的人，或者是不讲公理的人，但是只要你相信，只要把信心放在耶稣基督的身上呢，你就已经踏上天国的道路。
So now when Jesus paints these two pictures, the first son and the second son.
所以当耶稣把这个画面构画出来，第一个儿子和第二个儿子。
And when the court of public opinion say, hey, the first son is the one who is righteous.
然后再加上公众的判断都一直说，当然是大儿子，他是走在公义的道路上。
He automatically lives in the minds of the hearers.
他很直接的在听众的脑海当中
Don't be like the second son, nah.
说不要像第二个儿子。
Okay. Now we visit and encounter the second parable.
那现在呢，我们来看第二个比喻。
This one is a familiar passage of scripture.
这段话呢，也是大家熟悉的经文。
This one here, this passage of scripture, employs the rule of three.
在这个比喻里面呢，他用三次重复法则。
And I put up down here in the slides down here the symbolisms. You can have a look at it quickly.
然后我也在这个投影当中呢，让大家看到这边所一些重要的象征意义。
So after right after Jesus tells the parable of the two sons,
在耶稣讲完了两个儿子的比喻之后
，He immediately tells this parable of the wicked tenants.
他就马上。讲了这个凶恶缘户的比喻。
Okay, he says in verse 33. Now listen to another parable lah.
他就在三十三节说：“你们再听一个比喻。”
There was once a landowner lah, and he planted a vineyard.
所以他就讲有一个家主栽了一个葡萄园。
And this landowner he put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower.
然后他在周围圈上篱笆。里面挖了一个压酒池，盖了一座楼。
That means basically this landowner had prepared this land, and if you look at this land, it was a picture of Israel.
所以基本上他是在讲说，这个原主呢已经把这个地方预备好了。然后这块地，如果我们仔细来看呢，它指的是以色列。
And why? Because this wall around was meant to protect his particular vineyard. That was the normal agricultural practice.
在当时候，这是个农业社会，他们在周围原地的周围放上篱笆呢，是一个很正常的做法。
And this was a picture that God had protected Israel so far by building a wall, a metaphorical wall around Israel to protect Israel.
这也表示，这个也比喻了神在看顾着以色列，他在以色列的周边呢，树上这个篱笆来保护他们。
And then the landowner he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey.
然后原主呢就把这个园地租给原户，然后往国外去了。
Verse 34, when the harvest time approached.He sent his servants to collect, to the tenants to collect his fruit.
三十四节，收果子的时候近了，就打发仆人到园户那里去收果子。
This was the usual agricultural practice.
这是在当时候农业社会一个立场的做法。
So the normal agricultural practice was this: the landowner he will prepare this land and he will rent this land out to farmers.
在农业社会的时候。那个做法就是原主地主呢会把这个园地预备好，然后把它租出去给农民。
And then at harvest time, he will collect a part of the fruits or part of the harvest from the tenants as payment.
然后在收割的时候呢，他就会跟这些园户、这些农民收一些出产，当做是一个款项来出租的款项。
Okay.So this is the verse 35 begins the rule of three.
所以来到第三十五节呢，这个三次重复的法则就出现了。
Okay, verse 35. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, they killed another, they stoned a third.
原户拿住仆人，打了一个，杀了一个，用石头打死一个。
So the first rule of three, the first pattern is when the landowner sent his servants there, the servants were either killed, or tortured, or beaten up. That was the first time, the first pattern.
第一个模式就是出现在这里的是三十五节，仆人来到园户那里，一个被打了，一个被杀，然后一个被石头打死。
So in verse 36 gives the second pattern.
然后来到第三十六节，他又出现了第二个模式。
So now the landowner sends the second group of servants to collect. Collect the fruits.
现在原主差派第二批仆人去收这些果子。
And verse 36, then he sent other servants to them more than the first time. That means double or triple or one half times more.
主人又打发别的仆人去，比先前更多，也许比之前的多了一倍两倍。
Then the tenants treated them the same way 了。
原户还是照样待他们。
That means kill them, beat them, and stone them 了。
意思就是说，打他们、杀他们、用石头打死他们。
So that's the first two patterns.
所以这个就是第一个，还有第二个模式。
Now we pay attention to verse 37. That's the rule of three or the third pattern.
所以现在我们来注意第三十七节，这个是三次重复法则的那个重点。
So he said this. So the landowner reasoned it. Here say, "Wow, the first one I sent my servants, they are all beaten up or killed or tortured."
所以原主他会这么想：第一批的仆人我差派去了，都被杀了。
哎呦 ，maybe not enough men, so I'll send the second wave, more people, but they were also the same treated the same way.
也许人数不够，所以我第二次派的时候会派更多人。可是呢，这更多的仆人也有同样的遭遇。
But then the third one, he says now, the landowner says, maybe it's not the number of people.
然后来到第三批人的时候，原主就说，也许不是人数的问题。
Maybe it's the importance of the person I send.
也许是我差派的人，他的那个位置不够高。
Maybe I will send my son this time, my only son, I'll send him.
也许这一次呢，我要差派我那唯一的独生子。
And the expectation on the landowner was,That they will respect my son, what?
然后原主会认为说，他们必定尊重我的儿子。
I mean, my servant, okay lah. I mean, they don't know who my servants are lah. Then they mistreat them, okay lah, 不变啦。
我的仆人可能他们不认识，然后他们去虐待他们，那也没有办法了。
Then, okay, I don't give up. I send another wave of servants.
但是我没有放弃，我再派我第二批的仆人。
And still, my servants are treated that way.
但是我这一批仆人也有同样的遭遇。
Okay, maybe I send somebody more important. I send my only son there.
好了，现在我就送一个更加重要的人物，就是我的独生子。
And my expectation, and my expectation, and landowner.
而作为原户原主，我的要求。
They will respect my son, what?
我的期望是他们一定会尊重我的儿子。
Verse 38.
三十八节。
But when the tenant saw the son,
不料。原户看见他儿子
What they said to one another,
就彼此说
hey, This is the heir, you know?
hey, 这是承受产业的
hey, Let's kill him and then take his inheritance
来吧我们杀他占他的产业
Now let me explain the practice down here
让我来解释这边的一些做法
The landowner he had this land and he rented out to the tenants, to the farmers.
原主他拥有这块园地，但是呢，他把它租给那些原户。
And the normal practice would be at the end of the harvest, the tenants would give them part of the fruits or the part of the harvest.
一般上来讲呢，在收割的时候，原户就会把所收割的东西的一部分交给原主。
And this will continue.
然后这样子呢，会一直在重复着。
Then when I pass away, I will pass on this to my son.
然后当原主死了之后呢，他这块地就交给他的儿子。
Then but the tenants would also give part of the harvest, the annual harvest or this thing to my son.
然后原户会继续把他们的收成的一部分交给这个儿子。
But what in verse 38, what was happening was the tenants knew this.
三十八节所发生的事情是，原户知道这个东西。
If there were no son or no direct descendant to collect this, then they don't have to pay anymore.
如果以后 没有这个继承人，他们以后也不用再交了，交这些果子了。
So they said to each other, "Hey, this one here, a golden opportunity."
他们就彼此说啊，这个是难得的机会。
哇 ，first one, he sent servant, but the son is still alive.
第一次他们送仆人，但是儿子还是活着。
What we killed the first group of servants, bo bian lah, but it's not the son yet.
但是虽然我们杀了第一批的仆人，那也没有办法。但是不是儿子。
Second wave also not the son, you know. What we killed that also bo bian lah, just to send a signal, bo bian lah.
第二批是仆人，不是儿子。但是我们杀了这些仆人也没办法。但是我们把我们要讲的东西跟原主讲了。
Now the landowner will send his own son here. Wow.
那现在呢？原主把他的儿子送来了。
I tell you what, verse 38, come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. We don't have to give already. What we kill this guy, we don't have to inherit. What we don't have to pay rent anymore, pay fruit.
他们就说，我们把他杀了，以后我们也不用再交我们的这些果子给原主了。
So verse 39, so they, the wicked tenants, they took him, the son, and threw him, the son, out of the vineyard and killed him.
所以三十九节，他们就拿住他，推出葡萄园外，杀了。
Now, when Jesus told this parable to the hearers,
当耶稣把这个比喻告诉当时的听众
，He fully expected,
他完全的相信
，He fully expected the Pharisees to understand who he was pointing out.
他完全相信法利赛人知道他在讲谁。
He's very Chinese, here.Jesus is very Chinese.
在这里呢，耶稣很像华人。
He doesn't immediately tell you in the face, lah.
他没有直接跟你讲他要讲的话。
He obliquely tells you by putting a foil, lah. What a straw man here. You know, I talk to him, but you know I'm talking there, lah.
他拐一个弯，跟一个人讲话，但是知道说其实那个信息是跟你讲的。
So the Chinese.Know this technique also, basically.
所以华人也知道这样子的一个对策的做法。
Then look at the court of public opinion, verse 40 lah.
现在我们来看一下公众的这个议论是怎样的。
So now Jesus asks, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to the tenants?
四十节，所以原主来的时候要怎样处置这些园户呢
？And then verse 41, you see.
四十一节你就可以看到
they replied,
他们说
they replied means there is no dissent, there's no other view, it's obvious what
四十一节他们说这边就带出了他们的看法都是一致的
this landowner will bring to those wicked people a wretched end
这个原主要下毒手除灭那些恶人
And then what he will do, he will take this vineyard and rent to somebody else. He won't rent to these people anymore.
然后将葡萄园另租给那按时后交果子的园户。
Again, two categories of people. I rent to these people, they mistreated my servants, killed my son.
再一次你看到两群人，一群人是这个园户，他们我把地租给他们，他们却把我儿子杀了。
Then the other category, what do I want to rent to this one? I will treat them badly. I will just take this land and go somewhere else. What?
为什么我要继续租给这些园户呢？我要恶待他们，毒打他们，然后把原地租给另外一群人。
You see, verse 45. I'm going to skip the middle part. Verse 45.
我会跳过中间的部分，来到第四十五节。
When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables,
当祭司长和法利赛人听见耶稣的比喻。
And this parables is in plural here.
这个比喻是复数的。
That means it's the parable of the two sons and the parable of the wicked tenants.
他指的这两个比喻就是儿子的比喻，两个儿子的比喻，还有凶恶园户的比喻。
They knew he was talking about them.
就看出他是指着他们说的。
That means while they were standing down there listening to this parable, they also like that.
表示说，虽然他们也这么样站在旁边听耶稣的比喻。
So when Jesus told these parables to them, they knew Jesus was talking to about them.
当耶稣向百姓们讲这个比喻的时候，他们其实知道耶稣是在跟他们这些法利赛人在讲话。
And when they heard, when the Pharisees heard, unanimous, everybody also said, "Yeah, what the first son, what? Yeah, what? This guy will kill all this wicked tenant and rent to somebody else, what?
当法利赛人听到百姓都这么说，当然是第一个儿子听话，当然是要二代这些凶恶的园户。
They also knew.
他们也自己知道。
They also know.
他们也知道。
Okay, now we come to this part here, the cornerstone. Let us look at verse 42.
好，现在我们来看关于房角石的这个经文四十二节。
He says, Jesus now says to them,
耶稣现在跟他们说
，Have you never read in the scripture?
难道你没有读过吗
？This the way it is phrased, it is obvious. This one here is a very common passage of scripture. Everybody know one, what?
耶稣的讲法表示说，这段经文很一般，大家都应该知道的。
And he cites from this scripture.
所以他就把这个经文讲出来。
The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
匠人所弃的石头已做了房角的石头块石头。
The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes.
这是主所做的，在我们眼中看为稀奇。
So Jesus now takes this example of a scriptural text.
耶稣在这里呢就引用了圣经的经文。
And this scriptural text was familiar, everybody knew it.
而且这个圣经的经文是大家都很熟悉的。
And it employs this idea of a cornerstone.
他就使用了这个房角石的概念。
Okay, let me explain what a cornerstone is.
我来解释什么是房角石。
Okay, number one, a cornerstone is usually selected by a master builder or what we call an architect now.
房角石通常是由建筑师精心挑选的。
And this architect was very careful when he selected this cornerstone.
这个建筑师他很小心来选出这个房角石。
Any cornerstone that was not perfect was rejected by the architect.
任何的石头如果是不完美的，就不能够做房角石。
And what was the purpose of this cornerstone?
这个房角石的功用是什么？
This is what we call in today's construction method. It's called a reference point.
以今天建筑学的一个术语来讲呢，它就是那个方正石头。
In the old days and even today, when you build a building, you always have one reference point.
在古代也甚至在今天，每当你在做一个在建一个建筑物的时候，你都有一个基准点。
And this cornerstone would be the reference point of the building.
这块房角石呢，就是这个建筑物的基准点。
Okay, what is interesting about this cornerstone is, cornerstone is usually they will grind this cornerstone so that it's flat.
所以一般上选了这块石头做房角石，他们首先会在这块石头上打磨。让它变成平、方正。
Then after that they'll make it square. Square means this place all 90 degrees.
然后在它的棱角方面呢，把不应该有的棱角把它弄掉，让它成为方正的石头。
So all sides, so the cornerstone was perfect, right angle, and it was ground smooth.
所以这块房角石呢？它的棱角都已经拿掉了，是一个方正的石头，表面也比较光滑。
And this was usually the largest stone that they could find.
一般上这个是他们能够找到的最大块的石头。
And this was because it was a big stone, it was normally the first stone that was laid.
就因为它是最大的石头，一般上呢，它是第一块被铺下的石块。
Because once you lay this stone.
因为你一旦把这块石头铺下来
，You build horizontally with reference to this stone. You build vertically upon this stone.
你横向或者纵向呢，都是以这块石头为基准来建筑那个房，建造这个屋子。
So when Jesus cites this example of a cornerstone,
所以当耶稣引用房角石的这个比喻时
，He was simply saying that you must find a perfect cornerstone.
他其实是在告诉人说，你必须找出一块完美的这个石头。
This cornerstone got no fault one. There's no fault in this cornerstone because after that it will crack.
这块石头，这块房角石呢是没有裂痕的。如果有的话，因为它就会裂掉了。
And this cornerstone is a large piece.
这块房角石呢是一个大块的石头。
And you will find that once you place this cornerstone, whether you go x-axis or y-axis, it will take reference from this cornerstone.
并且你会发现，当你把这块找到了这块石头，你在建筑这块房建房子的时候，你的你铺这块地的时候，你都会以它为基准。
And this cornerstone was a large stone, and it could take a vertical load or a vertical weight.
还有这块石头是大石头，它也能够承载着纵向来说呢，整个建筑物的重量。
And the ancient people knew this.
古代的人知道。
When you put a stone upon another stone,
当你把一块石头跌在另外一块石头上。
Stone is very strong in compressive stress. Okay, that's a technical term.
石头在给这个压缩的压力上有很大的这个压缩压力。
That means it can take a lot of layers of stone upon this stone before this stone, the first stone cracks.
意思就是说，在最底下的石头能够承重承载着很多石头的重量。在它裂之前，它能够承受很多石头的重量。
So this is a picture that all Christian teaching must be based on Jesus' teaching alone.
这表示说，这也代表了所有的基督教教会里面的教导都要基于耶稣的教导。
It is also a picture of our practice must be in line with Jesus' teachings.
它也构画出一幅图画，说我们的行事为人必须跟耶稣的教导吻合。
So now, this is a picture of a cornerstone. This is not an ancient picture. I tried to lift this off from the internet, but I was not successful. This is just a simple photo. And this is the cornerstone here.
所以这个就是房角石的这个图片了。所以在这个红点的时候，那块就是房角石。
All right. Okay. So, why have I highlighted this cornerstone as a point of explanation.
为什么我要把这个房角石特别提出来来解释呢？
Because as I said before, it occurs in it occurs in the Old Testament. All these references.
因为我刚才提了房角石的概念，在旧约圣经里面出现很多次，比如说在这里的出处。
And also in the New Testament.
在新约圣经也出现。
So when the Old and the New Testament makes a reference to the cornerstone, this is the picture that the writer is trying to drive across.
所以每当旧约经文或新约经文的作者他们用房角石的时候，他都是要把这个概念带出来。
Okay, these references are not exhaustive. These are just common examples of the cornerstone.
所以这个出处呢，并不是所有的出处，只是一些有代表性的出处。
So now what Jesus says, in verse 44.
所以来到44节，耶稣的重点。
He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed.
谁掉在这石头上，必要跌碎。这石头掉在谁的身上，就要把谁掐得稀烂。
So for many years, I also scratching my head. What's the point of this?
很多年，我对于这节经文的重点也感到很模糊。
Finally, it dawned on me.
最终，我突然间了解了。
Okay.Imagine you are a builder and you are doing the construction of a building.
比如说，想象一下，你是一个建筑工人，你在做这个建筑工程。
Normally, there are other smaller stones down here.
一般上还有其他的比较小的石头。
And if you fall on these smaller stones.You hurt yourself only, lah. I mean, you might injure yourself, break an elbow, trip over, you know, something like that.
所以，如果在施工时较小的时候掉下来，可能会受伤，会骨折。
But if this cornerstone fall on you, right, you are definitely crushed, or you are dead.
但是，如果这块房角石掐在你身上，你肯定会被压碎、压死。
So Jesus in 42 verses 42 to 44 says this.
所以耶稣在42到44节这么说。
He says, "Hey, you have not read the scripture on this cornerstone."
他说，哎，你们没有读过这关于房角石的经文吗
？And it's quite common, everybody know one, right? Verse 42, this passage of scripture in the Old Testament, sure got one, very familiar to you all, one.
这个大家都应该有读过的，大家很熟悉的。
And then in verse 33, I tell you the truth.
然后来到43节，我告诉你
，The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to somebody else.
神的国会从你身上夺走，然后给别人。
Just like the landowner had taken it from this wicked tenants and given it to somebody else, rented it to somebody else, what?
就好像原主会把这块园地从原户身上取走，交给别人那样。
So today you have an opportunity to respond.
所以今天你有这个机会来做出回应。
You can either sit there and say yes, I trust in Jesus to take away my sin.
你可以选择说，是的，我信靠耶稣会把我的罪除掉。
Or you can just sit back and say, maybe not lah.
还是你可以选择说，我不想要吧。
But the warning is given here.
但是警告在就出现在这里。
Verse 44, Jesus gives a final warning.
四十四节，耶稣给最后的警告。
Hey, you reject this cornerstone,
如果你拒绝这块房角石。
Got consequences, one.
是有后果的。
And these consequences are not light, you know, they're severe.
这些后果并不是轻的，是很严重的。
If a normal stone, if a normal stone like this one here, fall on you,
如果一个小石头掉在你身上，
you'll be injured.
你可能会受伤。
Or you trip over this small stone during the construction of this building.
或者在建筑的时候，你因为这块石头而跌倒。
You only just injure your elbow or break an ankle only, what?
你可能只是伤了你的手或者是你的膝盖。
But you reject this cornerstone.
但是如果你拒绝这块房角石，
this cornerstone fall on you.
这块房角石掐在你的身上，
you're finished.
你就完蛋了。
So there is a warning here, brothers and sisters.
所以弟兄姐妹，这里有一个警告。
So the message is we are sinners. Man is a sinner.
所以那个信息是，我们是罪人，人类是罪人。
We cannot reach the holiness that God desires or requires.
我们不能够达到神对于圣洁的要求。
On our own merit, on our own works, we cannot achieve the kingdom of heaven. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
靠着我们的善行，我们无法进入天国。
But there is a good news here.
但是这里有一个好消息。
And if you only trust in Jesus to take away your sin and He gives you His righteousness.
如果你相信耶稣，只有耶稣能够把你的罪除掉，并且他可以把他的公义加在你身上。
And you can now enter the kingdom of God.
你就可以现在进入神的国了。
You have a choice.
你有一个选择。
And the choice is obvious. Who is the first son? Who is the one who did? The first son, obvious.
那个
public opinion.
那个选择很简单，谁能够进天国？当然是第一个儿子。这个大家都知道，公众的议论也同意，一致相信第一个儿子。
Then the wicked tenant very simple, got a public opinion, obvious.
那个凶恶园户的结论也是一样的，很明显的，公众都有一致认为是凶恶园户要被对付。
God will destroy these wicked tenants and go to somebody else, rent it out to somebody else, you approach somebody else.
神会把这些凶恶的园户消灭了，然后把园子租给别人。
Court of public opinion, obvious.
公众的议论都是很一致的。
So you have a decision to make here today.
今天你也有这样的一个选择要做。
You cannot defer this decision.
你不可以再拖延不做这个选择。
So the decision is very clear. My suggestion. The decision is very clear, and my suggestion is.
那个这个做这个决定其实很简单。我的建议在这里。
Trust in Jesus.
你就来相信耶稣。
Why?
为什么
you will cite in verses 45 and 46. This is tragic.
因为你看45到46节，这里所记的是很悲哀的事情。
Tragic. The chief priests knew. The Pharisees knew that they were talking about him. He was talking about them.
祭司长和法利赛人都知道耶稣在讲他们。
And yet they rejected him.
但是他们都拒绝了耶稣。
Jesus is speaking to you today.
耶稣今天也同样向你说话。
You also know he's talking directly to your heart.
你也知道他直接在向你的心
讲话。So you have a decision to make.
所以你有一个决定要做。
How do you respond?
你要怎么做决定呢？
In conclusion, I've taken a lot of time. In conclusion,
总结的来说，
there are, in the parable of the two sons, there are two possible categories in humankind.
在两个儿子的比喻里面呢，这边带出了有两种人。
Those who respond to the gospel and those who reject the gospel, only two types of people.
一种是接受福音的人，另外一种呢是拒绝福音的人，只有两种人。
It is not whether you come from Asia or you come from Europe.
并不是说你是亚洲人还是你是欧洲人。
It's not whether you're rich or poor.
也不是说你是有钱人还是没有钱的人。
It's about whether you trust in Jesus as a savior or you reject Jesus as savior. It's as simple as that.
是在于你有没有相信耶稣，还是你没有相信？你有相信耶稣，还是没有相信耶稣？这么简单。
It is possible for people here to hear the gospel week in, week out, and still reject the gospel.
在这里也有可能说，有的人听每一周都听了福音，还是拒绝福音的人。
Please don't be in this category, lah.
请你不要做这样的人。
Why?
为什么呢
？Because you'll be like the wicked tenant.
因为你就会像这个凶恶园户那样。
You'll be like the one who rejected Jesus himself.
你就会像那些拒绝耶稣的人。
And then the court of public opinion is very clear. God will remove you and go to somebody else.
公众的议论都很一致，神会把这个凶恶园户除掉，然后把好处给别人。
And Jesus strengthens his argument with a citation from the scripture. You all should know this one.
耶稣也引用了旧约的经文来支持他的论点。他说：“你们应该知道的。”
You all should know what there's this chief cornerstone, this main cornerstone, you know, of this building.
你们应该知道的，有这个房角石。
Aiyah, any other stone, ah, you all trip over or the stone fall on you lah, just minor injury only ma.
啊，任何的石头，如果你们因此掉在你们身上，你们只是受一些轻伤。
That means you choose the wrong school for your son, okay lah, bo pian lah. Next, for primary school, secondary school, you go to RI lah, no problem one.
啊，你给孩子选错了学校，哎呀，没有办法咯。但是现在中学的选给他选去来佛士书院也可以。
My first car is a Kia, okay lah. Made a mistake, I should have bought the Ioniq, I should have bought Mercedes. Okay lah, next car Mercedes lah, no problem.
啊，我第一辆车是 Kia, 哎呀，后悔了。但是没关系，第二辆车可以买马赛蒂。
But this decision you cannot reverse one, you know.
但是这个决定，这里的这个决定呢，你无法逆转。
Once you harden your heart and reject the gospel,
一旦你硬着心拒绝福音，
the consequences are detrimental, they're catastrophic.
那个后果呢？后果是严重的。
Let us pray.
我们一起祷告。
Father in heaven, we thank you for these two simple parables.
天父，我们谢谢你给我们这两个简单的比喻。
And these parables are stripped down so that we can understand the essence or the core.Of the Christian faith.
这两个比喻带出了基督教信仰的核心。
Father, we know that there are two categories of people in this church.
天父，我们知道在这间教会里面有两种人。
Those who respond to the gospel and those who reject the gospel.
接受福音的人，还有拒绝福音的人。
Father, I pray that all here seated here will make the decision.To respond to the gospel.
天父，我祷告说，坐在这里的人，每个人都可以决定来接受耶稣。
That those who sit here,
坐在这里的人
，that they will hear and acknowledge that they're sinners, requiring a holy God to come into their lives.
他们听了信息，他们可以承认自己需要一位圣洁的神进入他们的生命。
Father, as we go forward this day for this week.
天父，当我们继续要过接下来一周的生活的时候
，For those of us who have trusted and entered the kingdom of God，
对那些已经信靠耶稣进入天国的人
，Help us to live lives that reflect the life of Christ，
帮助我们能够活出一个展现耶稣基督生命的生活。
But for those who are still contemplating to respond to Jesus。
但先对那些还在考虑要不要接受耶稣的人
，Lord, please work in their hearts that they may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus.
主啊，求主你在他们的心中来工作，让他们愿意来信靠你。
As we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name, we pray.
我们把一切的感恩归给你，祷告奉耶稣的名求，阿门。
We'll hand over this time to Deacon.